In the autumn of 1943, more than 30,000 Oak Ridge residents were going to work each day as unwitting participants in the U.S. government's ultra-secret program to develop the world's first atomic bomb. It required millions of hours of their labor to synthesize just a few kilograms of uranium-235. The fissionable material used in the bombs later dropped on Japan to end the war. 60 years later, the Oak Ridge National Laboratories are documenting the lives of the men and women who built the bomb in secret. Joanne Gaylor is just one of dozens to be interviewed. She recalls the day she arrived at the secret city's gate.
When I came to Oak Ridge, there was very little to love about Oak Ridge. We came here in a bus, and we stopped at the gate, of course, and our identification shortly looked at my pass. And then the bus pulled away from the bus terminal in a cloud of dust. And I found myself coughing and choking. And little did I know then that when winter came and the rainy season, that dust would turn into slushy mud.
Mud churned up by construction crews trying to convert empty countryside into a fully functioning city for 75,000. Workspace, housing, schools, even theaters, all constructed in little more than a year's time and everything done in absolute secrecy.
There were posters all over town on any place there was a billboard, in the rec hall, on the buses, telling people to keep their mouths shut about project information. The only one I remember at this late date is the poster of Four Monkeys. What you see here, what you do here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Ms. Gaylor has collected this and other remembrances in a book titled Oak Ridge and Me, From Youth to Maturity. In it, she recalls being just one of 12,000 workers in the now-famous K-25 building, where uranium-235 was painstakingly collected through a process called gaseous diffusion.
K-25 was the longest building in the world under one roof, 1 1/4 mile from one end of the U to the other. It was U-shaped. And people got around in bicycle lanes. We had a bike in front of every office, and that's how we would ride around at K-25.
With the country on a war footing, Ms. Gaylor and her co-workers labored long hours, but the secret city did provide opportunities to relax.
They had 3 or 4 recreation halls in town, and dances were held frequently on Saturday nights. That was fun, and they had several movie theaters. So there were certainly things to do in Oak Ridge, and not too long after that, a symphony orchestra came into being.
On August 6, 1945, the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan, and Oak Ridge workers were finally told of their part in the ultra-secret project.
The reactions were different from different people. Most people were rejoicing. One very sober person said, "Well, the genie is now out of the bottle."
It was a nuclear genie that within a few years of Japan's surrender would become the focal point of a cold war between the communist and free worlds. With the guns silent, however, one-third of the Oak Ridge complex was converted to more peaceful pursuits and renamed the Oak Ridge National Laboratories. The labs were engaged in research ranging from nuclear medicine to environmental science. But Ms. Gaylor would return years later to work at the labs doing civil defense research.
And the Civil Defense Research Project was established by a Nobel Prize winner, Eugene Wigner, with the purpose of protecting our country from chemical, biological, and especially nuclear warfare, the very kind of warfare that was Oak Ridge's reason for existence but 20 years earlier.
Ms. Gaylor eventually became one of America's foremost authorities on Soviet civil defense measures. She found herself writing papers for prestigious journals and giving briefings at the CIA. Her 30-year-old recollections are, surprisingly, very timely.
They had very good material. They told housewives what to stock, what foods. They had instructions on quickly constructed shelters. They had instructions on how to evacuate. School children were taught how to use gas masks, of all things, and teachers were taught how to instruct them.
Ms. Gaylor worries about the future. She says she feels more vulnerable now than she did at the height of the Cold War.
I didn't used to worry as much for my children as I do for the ones, my grandchildren and my great niece and nephew. I see these bright-eyed, bushy-tailed kids, and I think, gee, I sure hope that they have a world that's going to be safe.
Safeguarding America continues to be the mission of the once secret city. Among other things, the national labs are aiding the war on terrorism by improving the nuclear materials detectors now in use at most American ports. For VOA's Our World, I'm Mike Osborne in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.